Let's look to the Lord and ask him to bless here today. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth of the word. And we thank you, Lord, we can come to you in the name of Jesus. And there is a holy anointing. There is an unction that comes from you, Lord, that gives us the word as we speak it and confirms it, writes it in the hearts, minds, and souls of the believer. And God, lives can be changed. Miracles can be wrought at that name of Jesus. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor as you anoint your word in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I want to preach on a thought this morning, heirs of God. Amen. Now, they tell me several years ago when Elvis Presley died that they was, and I don't remember the facts. You know, it's amazing how you remember the scripture because the anointing brings it to your remembrance, but a lot of facts, it's something that happened. This happened way back years ago, but when Elvis Presley died, they went in full printing press of printing his last will. People ordered it by the tens of thousands. You know why? They heard that he was giving it to random people, and they wanted to find out if their name was listed in his will. Amen? This is, they went crazy. They bought these by the tens of thousands, and they was in full press of printing these wills because people just wanted to find out. Well, get the book, get the Bible, and see if you are listed in those that choose to believe. See, this is an elect category. This is a special category, amen? And this category is a category of people that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth. It's an elite club. Amen. You can shake a preacher's hand or you get lock arm. Amen. It won't make no difference. Shaking the preacher's hand is not going to help you. You can be baptized in the old cliche until you know ever tadpole in New River down here. But you're still not going to be saved till you know Jesus Christ. Taking membership classes don't count. What was it? My granddaughter said that, you know, she went to the one church and they put her through a membership class, you know. And this makes you saved. And, you know, they just tell you about the background of their organization and they teach you about their organization. We need to be taught about Jesus Christ. We need to learn about what the blood has covered. But if you are of that elite club, the elect, the Bible says, that chooses to believe the word of God and allows him to transform you into a new creature through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, then you are an heir of God. Amen. And I want to minister for a few minutes this morning on a subject called the heirs of God. And we find scripture to back it up. I'm not just got something off the wall or thought up something, you know, that come to my mind, but I backed it by the scripture. Bible says in Galatians, in chapter 4 of Galatians, and in verse 7, we find these words. It says, "Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Amen. You know, the new translation of the Bible, they're switching out God and calling it Allah, but I'm telling you, Allah can't help you. Amen. I'm telling you, Allah can't save you. The only person, I like what one of those disciples said. You know, the Lord looked around and he looked around at his very own disciple and he said, well, you know, they told him, said, "Master, this hard thing, who can hear it?" He turned around and looked at the crowd and his disciples and said, "Will you go away also?" And I like what one of the disciples said. He said, "Where would we go? For you are the only one that has eternal life." Amen. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, has power to save. He has power to forgive. Why? Because he made it all the way up the Via Rosa. He went all the way through the suffering, the shame, and the agony, and the humiliation. And he died on that cruel tree, the cross. Amen. And for that, he became the propitiation, the price paid for sin. So understand, to be an heir of God, you must be born by the Spirit through Jesus Christ. There's only one door. There's only one way. And his name's Jesus. Amen. And through that, we are born into the kingdom of God. Amen. Then in Titus, we find in chapter 3 and verse 7. See, when we become not just a servant of God, we're servants to those that we serve in this world. We are, according to the word of God, we become a son. We're born into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ becomes our elder brother, and we become sons of God. Now, through doing this, we are granted and we inherit eternal life. And the Bible says in Titus, the third chapter, and in verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. So in this grace, now we are justified by the works that he done in Calvary, and we're justified by grace. If it wasn't grace, we'd be in trouble this morning. I'm going to tell you, not a one of us lived good enough to be saved this week. Amen. I grant you. You know, not a one of us, if you had to go it by the letter of the law, but I'm glad we're not by the letter of the law today. I'm glad we're by grace. Amen. And by grace, you're saved. Amen. It's a free gift of God, not of your own works, lest any man should boast. And boy, you can preach a revival right there. Amen. But he went on to say we were saved unto good works. Amen. But knowing this, that we become as an heir of God, we become heir of eternal life. Amen. And we're granted the privilege and the right to eternal life. Then Paul covered in Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 17. And this he says in verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. If so, then If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together. We may be also glorified together. Now, there's another week's revival in that. Understand that when we are as children of God, then we become an heir of God, and we become heir of God, we become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that was granted to be given through Jesus Christ, we become an heir of it, a joint heir. So we have a joint heir to all these things. The Bible said that Christ, which he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Amen. And we have a lot of power that comes through being a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we suffer with him, now I've said this and I say it again, if we as children of God, if we claim to have an experience with God and there's no suffering within it, there's no battle within it, there's no labor within it, there's no toil within it, there's no persecution within it, then you better go back and take another look, because you might not be saved. Because I'm going to tell you, if you are a Christian, you're going to suffer for it. Amen. You're going to be humiliated a lot of time. People are going to laugh at you and make fun of you. You know, growing up as a Christian, they used to call, well, he's a sissy. Well, we learned to know now what a sissy is, and it sure wasn't somebody that believed in God. Amen. But if we understand, if we suffer with him, also we'll be glorified together. See, the Bible tells me that we shall not all sleep, but in a moment we shall be caught up to be with the Lord. In that moment, this old corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. Amen. This body that knows pain, suffering, and is going to decay and go back to the dust, when it's glorified, we will get a new glorified body that can live in the splendor forever and ever and ever. A carnal man can't even be in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, amen, when he comes back, the brightness of his coming is going to consume the enemies. We will have to take on a glorified body to be able to stand with the Lord. So today we become a joint heir with God through Jesus Christ. We become a joint heir with him, and through doing so, we become glorified in that moment when the trumpet sounds so loudly to wake the dead. And then in that moment, see, Jesus, amen, he was here on this earth. He did not, in his body, have all, he was all God and he was all man. But he laid down a portion of his glory to come here in the body of a man. He will be back glorified. See, that body, no pain. But the new glorified body won't no pain. Amen. Cancer may wreck this body. Heart trouble and diabetes and all these diseases may wreck this body and may break it down and wear it out. But when it's glorified, it'll know no pain. All the former things will be passed away. No sickness. So if you can understand today to be an heir of God, you're an inheritance of eternal life, and you become a joint heir of Jesus Christ, and you become partakers of that glorified body with him in Christ. And that'll preach. Amen. That'll make most anybody shout. Amen. You don't have to be a Pentecostal to shout at that. Amen. When you know that you are a joint heir of God, you know that you're promised eternal life, and you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and you're promised the glorification of a glorified body. Amen. Then, in Romans, still in Paul's writings to the Romans, if we look at chapter 4, and we come to verse 13. Here Paul said these words, and man, I like this. This is another revival right here. Amen. Verse 13 of the fourth chapter of Romans. Let's read down through verse 17. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if that which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, if it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now then, here are the heirs of the promise, the heirs of the world, the heirs of not only Jesus Christ, but we an heir to Abraham. Amen. And verse 17, and this is powerful. As it is written, I have made thee father of many nations. He's talking to Abraham. But him who believe, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as they were. We are given the promises of Abraham. We're given the promises to speak. We're given the promises to speak to those things that are not as though they are. And we have that through the right of being an heir of God, and we speak. We speak victory. We speak healing. We speak of the promises of God. We speak of eternal life. And, you know, a lot of people going around, you know, all the news speaking something negative. You better watch out. You better watch out. This is going to happen. That'll happen. We need to start speaking by the oracles of God. We need to start speaking faith. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Amen. Not some of them, not part of them. Whatever God anoints in my life to accomplish, I can accomplish it through Christ. Because I'm an heir of God. I'm an heir of Abraham. Amen. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Then if we move on again to something Paul said over in Galatians in the 3rd chapter and in verse 29, here it goes back and says it again. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. What was the promise? What was the promise of the Old Testament? That a Christ child would be born. And that Christ child would be the Savior of the world. And He would save all men from their sins. Amen. So we today are heirs of God, heirs of eternal life, joint heirs of Jesus Christ, heirs to the world, and heirs to the promise of Abraham. Amen. We got the victory, church. We got the victory. Our name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. We're not of this world. Amen. And you just hang around a while and you know what I mean. Amen. Guy was telling me this morning about a preacher here preaching on the radio this past week. He really said, the preacher was telling me about it, said a mouthful of truth. This preacher was preaching that people say, well, the Holy Ghost fell on them. They received the Holy Ghost. And he began to explain how that you got the Holy Ghost when you got saved and it just come up in you and that was all you got. Well, the Bible said, unless you have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. That is true. But there was an experience that happened on Pentecost. And this is you, them in Judea, Samaria, those as far off to the uttermost parts of the world. To you and I today, we can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost comes and moves upon us. And amen, before you go out the door to accomplish what you need to do in Christ, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. They tarried in the upper room till they was endured with power from on high. And there was around 65,000 souls saved in the first 8 to 10 months of the New Testament church after they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, I've been faithful to what God's told me to do. But God liable to fill some of y'all up with Holy Ghost, and we liable to have another Azusa Street. Amen. God bless His faithfulness. Amen. God bless His faithfulness. If God gives you something to do, He wants you to do it with all your might and your soul, and He'll bless that effort. Amen. Through the preaching of the word, God may fill somebody up with the Holy Ghost out of this crowd and start an Azusa Street. Amen. And we see literally thousands saved. You don't know. I'm going to hang around to see what God does. Amen. I'm not going to sidestep. I've told God my heart. God knows my heart. But God knows, and outside of all that my heart says that I want or I think, I say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Amen. That's where you need to come in your life to say, God, what do you want me to do? Change my dreams, my plans, take it all away, God. But Lord, whatever it takes, I'll be willing to do. That's the song that back in the mid-70s and one of the Dash players, and you know back in those days, they put eight tracks in the cars. And I had an 8-track and I had a new Lincoln and that Lincoln stuck that song, Whatever It Takes. And it played it over and over and over and over and over. It wouldn't play nothing else. Couldn't get it out, and it wouldn't play nothing but that. Every time you turn the tape player on, it played, Lord, whatever it takes, I'll be willing to do. We come to that place in God. God, it don't make no difference what somebody thinks, what somebody says. I don't care. It just makes one thing to me. It's, God, what do you want me to do with the situation? God, what do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my days? And if you'll come to that place in God, God will work for you. And it's unreal what God will do. Amen. But we are heirs of that promise. And then Paul got his two cent in one more time. Amen. I mean, when Paul had something to say, he didn't just say it one time. He said it to, you know, as he wrote to these different people, as he preached to these different people, as he ministered to these different people, Paul said it time and time again. Now to the Hebrews, the Romans, to Titus, to the Galatians, now to the Hebrews. In Hebrews. Now then. Here. He said these words. In chapter 1. And verse 14. For. He goes on to say. Are they not all ministering spirits. Sent forth. To minister. For them who shall be heirs of salvation. God has sent ministering angels and ministering spirits. Just like the devil has his imps and his demons. And those demons are out to destroy, to work against everything that God's doing and every child of God. And Satan tries to wear out the saints of the Most High God. But on the other hand, God said he had ministering angels, ministering spirits, that he has sent to you and I, those that are heirs of the promise, those that are heirs of salvation. Amen. So I'm glad today I'm not walking this thing by myself. I'm glad today I'm not fighting this thing by my own. But I got angels encamped all around me. Amen. And angels are keeping me and watching over me. Because I am an heir to the promise of God. And I'm an heir of salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have now been saved and born again by the Spirit of God. And I will be glorified with him when this thing's done. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, He's gonna deliver the kingdom up to the Father. Just like he delivered the Old Testament saints. When that veil was rent in the temple and the graves bust wide open, amen, they walked the streets of Jerusalem and Jesus delivered the Old Testament saints up to the Father and they were glorified. And so was he. And he appeared back through the wall and said, Thomas, cast your hand here. Prior to that, he said, don't touch me. I've not been glorified. But after he'd been glorified, he didn't have to open the door. He just come through the wall. Amen. I'm glad today that I'm an heir to the promise of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm an heir to eternal life. I'm an heir to all this world. This world is mine. This world is yours. God's going to, after he puts rule into all rule of sin and Satan, and Satan is put in the bottomless pit for eternity, then according to the word of God, he's going to renovate this earth and give it back to his children as a garden. Amen. And he'll be parked outside the streets of gold and you'll walk off of the golden streets and walk out into the garden and it'll be the perfect paradise that God set it up to be. Don't mess with God. He's an awesome God. He will do what he set out to do. Amen. In your patience possess ye your soul. Learn that. Study on it and realize in your patience you do possess your soul. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we're heirs of the promise today. We ask you, God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, save to the uttermost, heal, deliver, set free is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God love you. God bless you. Until the next time, amen and amen.